Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome to an emergency edition of a combo broadcast of the Andy Staples Show and Power Hour. There is a regularly scheduled Power Hour that goes up Tuesday morning, hosted by our own Nicole Auerbach. And there's a regularly scheduled Andy Staples Show going up Tuesday night after the college football rankings. But holy crap, Brian Kelly is going to LSU. The Notre Dame job is open. Lincoln Riley got introduced at USC. Nicole, this is the craziest coaching carousel ever.
2 days ago, did you think we would be talking about Lincoln Riley and Brian Kelly in this coaching carousel?
No. And it's funny because my mailbag column last week led with a question from a reader saying, why don't some of these guys go after Brian Kelly? And I said, well, they should. They should ask at least.
Did you think specifically LSU should?
I thought USC probably would.
I think the USC.
I thought LSU would ask about
more
Riley.
Of a fit sense. Like, I'm having trouble picturing Brian Kelly on Bourbon Street. Like, I just like the fit of the Notre Dame head coach going to LSU. I'm just so stunned by. What is happening? Why are these coaches who are in these blue blood, great jobs that people retire from, that people work their whole career to get to, jumping ship? I am just flabbergasted.
Okay, I have two thoughts on that. One, I don't think anybody should go into one of these jobs thinking they're going to retire there. I think we've watched too many times where the situation went sour and it just fell apart.
But
so that's one.
Yet in either of these situations.
I know, but it feels like it's always just around the corner. I mean, Brian Kelly was riding high and then 2016 happened. He had to revamp everything and he's been great since. I mean, he brought the program to another level after that. But I also think in both cases, in Lincoln Riley's case and Brian Kelly's case, it's a deal where they're looking at their current situation and they're saying, I don't know about my chances of winning the national title here in the near future. The place I'm going feels like a place where I'm more likely to do that. Am I crazy?
I mean, I think that's fair in this situation. I mean, USC feels further away than Oklahoma currently,
USC can get to the top of its conference very quickly.
Yes. And make the playoff.
Whereas
every year.
Yeah. Whereas Notre Dame is kind of, I think Brian Kelly had Notre Dame at its ceiling. I think in the 21st century.
Fair. I think that's fair.
Yeah. In the 21st century, what he's doing at Notre Dame is as good as it's probably going to get. And so I always go back to that. I think it was a Cotton Bowl against Clemson. It was a semifinal game. And the first quarter was really like kind of nip and tuck, neck and neck. And then Julian Love gets hurt. And Clemson just terrorizes Julian Love's backup for three quick touchdowns. And all of a sudden the game's over. And it's like, at Notre Dame, can you ever build a team deep enough to play with the Alabamas and the Clemsons? And especially if the playoff's going to expand to 12, you'd have to win. But if you're Notre Dame, you'd have to win four of those games.
But you'd always be there. Like,
you would always.
But LSU
can build one that can win it.
That I buy. What's crazy about this in particular is Notre Dame might make the playoff in 6 days.
Now. Yes.
In six days.
Yes, if Georgia and Baylor win.
We're recording this six days before they announce the playoff. And Notre Dame could very well make the playoff and Brian Kelly is leaving. So like that certainly says something about what you're saying. about making it versus winning it.
Yes. Yes. And that's the part that I've wondered with Kelly, and I've asked people, and the answer's always been, well, no, he's fine with it because he's made Notre Dame into the job he wants it to be. And there are always kind of a few little tweaks here and there that could be made better. But the prevailing thought was, as long as they keep trying to improve things, he's going to be fine there. But I've always wondered, would he say, maybe I can't win a national title here. Maybe I need to go somewhere where I'm fishing from a bigger recruiting pond and I can build the kind of roster that can win national. Because clearly he knows how to build a roster to make the playoff.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. But like, to me, the question of fit is what is so surprising about this. This is someone who spent their entire career coaching in the Midwest and is now going down to Baton Rouge.
Like, and it's from the Northeast.
It's from the Northeast.
Here's, like, here's the thing. You fit in the SEC if all you care about is winning. You fit.
But isn't there something to be said for having been at an SEC school, recruited in the SEC first? No?
Didn't bother Urban Meyer. He won two national titles without ever being at an SEC school before. Nick Saban had never been at an SEC school when he went to LSU. He won a national title there.
Slightly a different time. I mean, I think... it's just I'm trying to process this. We're working through this because I'm also still trying to process Lincoln Riley to USC. Like, I'm still, these are genuinely stunning,
it's crazy,
stunning moves, because these are coaches. There's only a few programs that have made the playoff in this era, and these are coaches in those programs leaving.
Yes, yes, that and that tells you kind of where their priorities are, and I think their priorities are national titles, and what they're saying is, I think I have a better chance of winning the national title at this place than at that place.
Here's a take too. I think we've heard so much, especially in the wake of Chris Peterson's retirement, Bob Stoops' retirement, which he's back, by the way. He's coaching Oklahoma right now.
But kind of back Barry Alvarez style, yes.
Yes, which we can get to that. I love that as well. But coaches have left the college game and said the recruiting is getting out of control. It's so 24/7, the way the rules are, all of these things. And, you know, you've had Matt Rhule and all these coaches, Cliff Kingsbury, go to the NFL. They don't have to call 16-year-olds all the time. It's almost like Lincoln Riley and Brian Kelly are saying, if I have to do this in this era, I better have a chance to win a national championship.
I better have a chance to win a national title, and you better be paying my ass.
Right, yes. and they better be paying my
butt out the wazoo.
Players all the time, and both of them are going places that have just a plethora of that in their backyard.
Yes, yes. Now, here's the thing. All these coaches are leaving, and these coaches are saying the same thing. But there are still plenty of coaches who will happily take an obscene amount of money to try to win the national title. And I think that's the part everybody forgets. These guys are hyper-competitive. They hate losing. They love winning. And now the financial incentive is off the charts because you can't afford to lose a guy who can win you a national title, or if you're a program that expects national titles, you can't afford to not hire someone you think could win one. So like Scott Woodward had put himself in a box in this situation. This is the guy who got Jimbo Fisher to Texas A&M as an AD. He goes to LSU, he fires the coach. It's okay, which whale are you going to land? Is it going to be Jimbo? Is it going to be Lincoln Riley? Well, guess what? He landed away. We were making fun of him earlier Monday.
I was having that conversation all day on Monday. Where is LSU going to go? And, you know, they thought that, you know, you can't hire the Louisiana coach. You can't hire Billy Napier, right? Not a big enough name, not a big enough, you know, or winning enough track record and whatever, you know, like winning at whatever level you think. And then they go and get Notre Dame's coach. Both of these situations are where you don't assume that anyone is so happy that they won't pick up the phone, that someone is untouchable. Yes. Like, I think back about, so I saw Brad Stevens. So one of the all-time stunners was Brad Stevens to the Celtics, right? That was it dropped in a Butler press release on July 3rd of July 4th weekend. No one saw that one coming. And I had been in Brad Stevens' office like 3 weeks prior. And this is after he'd been rumored to be in the mix at UCLA, and there were some other big jobs in college hoops that opened that year. And he said something to me where you could just tell the wheels were already moving a little bit as I looked back on it. But he said, you always pick up the phone because you never know when the person on the line is going to change your life. Like, you never know when it's going to be a life-changing call. So you always pick it up, even if you're Brad Stevens and it's all these jobs you're not going to take. And I think that's really interesting in this situation. I keep thinking about it in the last, 36 hours, because you would not have thought that Brian Kelly would leave Notre Dame. Right? You wouldn't have. Yeah, but it can't hurt to feel it out. And then it worked.
All they can say is, this is the analogy I used in that mailbag column last week, was it's like asking the most amazing person at your school to prom. All they can say is no. The worst thing they can say is no. And is your life over then? No. You're just kind of right back where you thought you'd be. And so there's no reason not to ask. And to your point about, you never know when the next phone call might change your life, you always have to listen. I mean, I think most of us in our own professional lives have turned down job offers before, but you listen to every one of them, because why not? Somebody's nice enough to think of you that way. And so you should at least give them the courtesy of hearing them out. But you just never know when your situation might change even ever so slightly. And you think, okay, this is the time. And, 2 years ago, LSU had maybe the greatest college football team there ever was. There's no reason Brian Kelly can't build a similar roster and do a similar thing.
I'm trying to picture him in the colors with like a plate of gumbo or something. Like, I'm just struggling here. I mean, I just don't think people could have seen the last 2 days coming. And now we have a cycle where USC opened, LSU opened, Florida opened, Notre Dame opened. Like, this doesn't happen.
Oklahoma's open.
Oklahoma is open. This doesn't happen all at the same time. And in a year where, like, we kept saying, like, one of the talking points was there's so many jobs open and there aren't enough candidates. Like, there's not enough big name coaches for them. And then people, got big names and that creates more openings. And it creates openings at Notre Dame where we've been saying, oh, Luke Fickell, Matt Campbell, these guys, like, those are dream jobs for these types of coaches. LSU wasn't exactly, or USC wasn't exactly the right job for those types of coaches. And now the dream job's open.
Well, and that's the thing too, because we keep eliminating certain people because either we've talked to them or we've talked to their agents and they've told us, hey, that's probably not my speed. That region, whichever it is, it could be the SEC, it could be the Big Ten, it could be the Pac-12.
It makes sense for a Luke Fickell to be a Midwest guy.
Right. But Notre Dame's the one, or one of the few that we've said for Luke Fickell and for Matt Campbell, if that opened, and we had no idea it would ever open, that they might be willing to jump. Now, here's the crazy part. If you're Luke Fickell and you make the playoff at Cincinnati, you're the first group of five team to make the 4-team playoff. How are you going to do
it? Should you even do it? Job, but ride out the run?
And by the way, Cincinnati's already lost a coach to Notre Dame going into a historic postseason situation. I unfortunately covered the aftermath of that in the Sugar Bowl.
Cincinnati and Notre Dame are also intertwined this season because they played and because Cincinnati beat them and they're their best win. So they've been wanting Notre Dame to have a good season so that the win looked good. But I was at that game. I covered that game. And there were a lot of people who wanted specifically to beat Notre Dame at Notre Dame because of the Brian Kelly history, despite the fact that, again, the aftermath, whatever.
It's been a while. Yeah.
It's been a while. And the fact that Notre Dame scheduled this game helped Cincinnati in the first place. But there's just a lot of tangled wires in this one. I don't know. The playoff is such an interesting wrinkle because I don't think I would have thought that a team in contention for a playoff spot would lose the coach, right? Like you would have thought that this would have happened later because of that. So because that didn't happen, I don't know if Luke Fickell's your guy. I don't know what the timeline has to be.
I mean, you may have to just wait. And I don't know how that works, but...
Especially with the signing day. I mean, you just have to say, we're going to sign our guys in February.
Yeah, yeah. And but the thing is, it'll be a giant tell if Notre Dame doesn't hire a coach in the next 2 weeks. Because signing day is December 15th. So if they don't hire a head coach, you know what's coming. You know it's somebody who's playing in the playoff or somebody who's in the NFL right now. So that is the craziest thing. So who are we talking about for Notre Dame? Luke Fickell, Matt Campbell, clearly,
yep,
are two that you would think Jack Swarbrick would want to call. But this is, like Oklahoma, this is a job that people will come out of the woodwork for.
Yeah, so I mean, I think when Marcus Freeman went to Notre Dame and they spent all that money to bring him in, you were starting to think that way, right? I mean, again, not mm-hmm. this quickly, not one season.
Kind of like a Lincoln Riley succession plan at Oklahoma.
Yes. Ryan Day, Ohio State, whatever that might look like. But, you know, now you could also think, okay, Luke Fickell to Notre Dame, Marcus Freeman to Cincinnati, right? Like you could see all the different possibilities there. This could get shot down immediately by you right now, but Matt Rhule? If he wants to come back to college, this is the job,
I mentioned his name on a radio show for Oklahoma today because I think Matt Rhule would be great there too.
I think the two jobs for him to come back to college are Notre Dame and Penn State.
Those would make sense. I mean, there's a lot of I would only leave for Notre Dame coaches out there. And it's understandable. Like Nicole, think about the age group most of these guys are in. These guys are in their late 40s, early 50s for the most part. When they were kids, when they discovered college football, no matter where they lived in the country, Notre Dame was the biggest thing going. Notre Dame was the only school that had its own national TV deal. Notre Dame, before that, had the replays on every Sunday that were syndicated all over the country. So people would watch. People who didn't care about Notre Dame football would watch it because it was the only sports that was on a Sunday morning. So there's a lot of people who grew up, even if they weren't fans of Notre Dame, it just means something to them. It's special. It's one of the special places.
Does it just mean more to a certain subset of coaches?
No, clearly not. Clearly the SEC continues to just mean more. Well, mean more than Notre Dame. Lincoln Riley does not believe it means more.
Throw more money at things. I mean, you know, one thing that Pete Sampson has written about, our Notre Dame writer, who's going to have plenty to write about here with the fallout of this.
Long night ahead.
Is, you know, I mean, Brian Kelly has brought up like the facilities and different things, mm-hmm. right? Like there are reasons when coaches come up with, you know, moves like this. Perhaps more in this case than Lincoln Riley, Oklahoma to USC in terms of stuff like this, where there's a track record of complaints and pushes and asking for certain things. But man, I mean, I'm with you. I think there's a lot of coaches that are, this is the dream job. It's always been the dream job. No one ever thinks it's going to open because if you have that job, you're going to stay forever. And I do think that this is one where you do, again, you call people for the life-changing call because you don't know who's willing to say yes to this. And I think it's a different, I do think the candidate pool, like I think of it similarly to Oklahoma, but like of the names and the type of coach, like the temperament and the recruiting history and all these things that I'm picturing. But I mean, you can call anyone and they're going to pick up. It's Notre Dame.
Yeah, and it feels like different personalities. I have to stop. I keep getting in my own head about Oklahoma. I have to realize that if you're a candidate or a potential candidate, you have to look at Oklahoma as an SEC job now. And I'm not thinking of it that way. I'm thinking of Oklahoma as what we know Oklahoma as right now. But Oklahoma is an SEC job. Oklahoma is the same type of job, caliber of job, same challenge of job as LSU, Texas A&M, Georgia, LSU, Auburn, Alabama, Florida, all of those.
I just had another thought about Brian Kelly to LSU, because one of the issues that Ed Orgeron's had down the stretch here is hiring assistants, right? He's hired, he's made mistakes. He's hired the wrong ones.
That's it. That's
Brian Kelly hires great assistants, great coordinators.
Yes, he does.
Like the stability element of bringing in Brian Kelly and like the staff he's going to bring, I think is going to be refreshing for LSU. But like, I wouldn't have thought of, you know, again, you're thinking about candidates, you're thinking about fit. That element, I think, is underrated in some of this stuff when you talk about alignment and all these like buzzwords that coaches and ADs and presidents use. But that's been part of the downfall for O, is the people around him. And I don't think you're going to have that problem.
And he's completely coordinator dependent. He'd never been a coordinator on any level. He'd never called plays. Brian, at least, it's his offense. You know it's his offense. So he's more like when he had a bad defensive coordinator, they were real bad. But
He's hired multiple good ones.
And the thing is, like, let's say Mike Elko wanted to work with him again. Brian Kelly can afford Mike Elko now.
Yep.
He ain't getting money whipped by anybody at this point.
Yeah, the it's a blank check. It's a blank check. And that's what you do when you go to the SEC, right? And so that's the different world that you're walking into. It's going to take me a while to process these. These guys are going to get asked all offseason, why did you do this, right? And they're going to have answers to it. And, you know, maybe, I don't know if Lincoln Riley will ever tell us exactly why, you know, whatever it is. But it's going to take a while to, this recalibrates a lot of things, right? Like it recalibrates the balance of power and recruiting powers and the top five rankings, as Ari loves to, you know, focus on, right? Yes. In the blue chip ratios.
Stars matter. But I do think there's a little bit of, you know, spacing out here. Because when you have Riley going to USC, I think he's going to fix USC on that front. Which means a few less players that Alabama, Georgia, and Ohio State can take.
And I think that will, A, be healthy for the sport to balance out where the talent is going and concentrating it a little bit less at certain programs in the Southeast, but also different conferences like this. The Brian Kelly move is the SEC consolidating power, right? It's taking a great coach and poaching him away from a great program. Whereas Lincoln Riley, it balances stuff out more. It's going to change the way that recruits pick schools. It's going to change where those, you know, those SoCal quarterbacks go and things like that. And a conference that really needs that type of coach. This is different, but I also think, you know, you're still going to, like, Notre Dame is, if they get Fickell, if they get Campbell, Rule, you know, a wild card candidate, they're still going to be Notre Dame.
Absolutely. So they're going to be good. And Kelly going to LSU, everybody talks about the cultural fit. Again, I will say this as someone who grew up in SEC country, who went to an SEC school that thinks it's supposed to win the national title every year. They don't care where you're from or how you talk as long as you win. They don't. And this is a guy who's had to recruit nationally. He's been at the original national recruiting school. And yes, at LSU, you have to lock down your borders. Like you can't be letting Alabama take Devontae Smith out of Louisiana. But the good news is most kids want to grow up playing for LSU. Where do a lot of the really good players in Louisiana play? They play at Catholic schools. Who's been recruiting the best players at Catholic schools, I don't know, for the last 12 years?
I'm with you, and I also think stylistically as an offense, there's some interesting elements to this. Like there's so much to unpack with this move, but it's genuinely a stunner. And when I got a text from someone during the day saying, hey, you know, I think there might be something to this. You know, I think that at the very least, LSU is going to put together a big offer for Brian Kelly. He's going to hear it out. I was like, well, you know, how's he going to use this for leverage? You know, what is this going to mean? I mean, that certainly sounds one-sided. You know, but there are reasons. There are reasons from LSU's side that this is going to work, that it can work. And there's reasons for Brian Kelly to make the jump. And I think it just comes back to what you said right out of the gate, right? It's about making the playoff and having a chance to win a national championship. They're different.
Yes. Yes. There's a ceiling there. And thing is, when the 12-team playoff comes in, that will become even more pronounced. Notre Dame, with its ability to make the 12-team playoff every year, with the way it's going to be structured, where you have to win a conference championship to get a bye, Notre Dame is going to struggle to build the depth of roster that you need to win four games to win the national championship. LSU can build the roster that could win the national championship by winning four games, or can win the SEC and win it by winning three. And that's just, it's just a fact. I mean, we've seen LSU do it. We just saw LSU do it 2 years ago. And yeah, I don't know if that means, because what I wonder, can say a Matt Campbell or a Luke Fickell or a Matt Rhule or whoever they wind up hiring, can they take Notre Dame higher? I suspect not. I suspect Notre Dame is about where its ceiling is, but maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know about that. I mean, I would give, I'll give some time, because there have been unintended consequences of a 4-team playoff that we don't know what those will be for a 12-teamer. We can project, we can guess things.
True.
And also, I mean, Brian Kelly was starting to recruit at an even higher level, right? Like, I mean, there are differences.
Yes.
So
the last 3 or 4 years has been really good.
Right. So we're just starting to see some of those athletes in this program and what that looks like. Whereas, you know, again, you go 5, 6, 7 years into that, what does that look like? So I'm not ready to say that this is the ceiling for whoever coaches Notre Dame, but I do think you run into certain issues, and I think roster depth is exactly one of them. But again, I think some of this stuff is just going to totally shake up the way that the patterns of recruiting and the way that people go. And we also don't even know who Brian Kelly is going to have, you know, as his coordinators and who he's going to bring and where their sweet spots are. So it's hard to project, but man, it's going to take me a few days, Andy, to process this.
This is wild. I had somebody from a school call me on Monday morning asking, you know, is there any chance Campbell gets Oklahoma? Because they're worried that their person would leave if Iowa State opens. Notre Dame's open. Oklahoma's open. The domino effect from these things is going to be unbelievable. Because these are places where a Power Five head coach, most likely, unless it's an NFL head coach, that's probably who they're hiring.
You said this earlier, but like, it is the craziest coaching cycle that we've ever had, right? Like, is there anything that is remotely comparable to all of these jobs opening and two stunners back to back like this?
No. The bombs going off. I mean, this is like NBA free agency times a million.
Yeah, take that, NBA Twitter. Take that.
Yeah.
Ha.
Yeah, forget.
We'll have our memes.
We're gonna call them. Well, you've got your hour bombs, and we need to have like Bruce bombs for when Bruce does it.
Yeah, alliteration. That one's easy.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just, it has been truly incredible these last couple of days. I joked when Max Olson and I did the emergency podcast last night about Lincoln Riley going to USC that we're going to have to do 57 of these things this week. I think we may top that.
I mean, the dominoes are still falling and bigger jobs keep opening. So, yeah, I mean, again, it's wild. It's whiplash. It's crazy.
I just had a thought, and I'm going to put it out of my mind. I was like, what if Alabama doesn't make the playoff and Nick Saban retires? I don't think he's going to do that.
Andy.
But I didn't think Brian Kelly would go to LSU or Lincoln Riley would go to USC either.
All right. Well, maybe you putting this out into the universe means that it won't happen. But like, we didn't tend to jinx things. We didn't. Yeah. And we didn't put out some of the other stuff. You know, I mean, we put out that Scott Woodward was striking out on his home run hires and his big names. And then he did it.
I wonder if he was just sitting back laughing at us for a lot of Monday, or was he nervous?
You got to be nervous. Was he nervous? Right. No matter what.
Yeah. I think he told me when he was trying to get Jimbo, when he was pretty sure he had him, that when the plane was sitting on the runway in Tallahassee and he's waiting to hear if Jimbo got on it, like, he was still nervous. He's still freaking out.
Was the Christmas tree already on the, on the street at that point? Because that's what we knew.
Funny story about the Christmas tree. They bought the Christmas tree years earlier. I believe Jimbo was at LSU when they bought the Christmas tree. And it was this big artificial thing, and it broke that day, that Friday or Thursday or whatever day that was.
Convenient.
And, well, no. So they threw it out. The people who come to, like, when you're loaded like that, you hire people to do your Christmas decorations. So the people came in to set them up, and they called Jimbo, like, your tree's broken. We can replace it. He's like, sure, just throw the old one out. They put a new one up that day, and it stayed up till February.
Well, I like the other story better. I like the other story better.
Oh, I don't know. I just imagine that lonely Christmas tree sitting in Tallahassee, like, where'd everybody go? What happened here?
But I think that is right, that even when people are pretty sure these things are done, you are, I mean, like, okay, think about, like, when we're calling people who are directly involved in a search, you're never going to get the athletic director who is signing this person to a contract to tell you that they did it.
No.
Or that they think they're going to do it until the ink is dried.
Yes. Yes. They will never. I'm trying to think if I've ever had an AD text me back or call me back and say, I hired this guy before his or her school's official announcement came out.
I've gotten it between the contract was signed and the school announced it, but never. You will never get someone to say, like, that they're that they're the final target, that you're finalizing, that you feel good about. They will not, because you never know. And everyone has worked in this industry long enough to know. And this is why, even though Jimbo has been denying and denying and denying and coming up with hilarious ways to say that he was not going to LSU, I'm still in the back of my mind saying, until LSU announces another coach and holds somebody's hand up and says, this is our LSU coach, you just cannot assume anything in this stuff. So anyone involved,
I think Jimbo's AD Ross Bjork felt the same way. I think he was saying that too. So he's probably the most relieved person in America tonight.
Yes. There's a couple of very, very happy athletic directors going to sleep tonight after a couple of bourbons, but everyone else terrified of the dominoes to come.
Or Nicole maybe's going like, I wonder if he wants to go to Oklahoma or Notre Dame now. Oh, crap.
I think everybody's going to be nervous about the Notre Dame opening. Everybody.
Nicole, it's been a pleasure. I look forward to all of these emergency podcasts that we'll be doing the rest of the week. Collect them, trade them with your friends. There's going to be more.
I'm going to claim a couple of random schools just in case they open.
Okay.
If Kirk Ferentz retires, I'll take the Iowa emergency pod.
You and Scott Docterman are going to have an amazing Iowa emergency pod.
Okay.
You're going to host it.
Yeah. Great.
That's going to be a power hour emergency podcast.
So I'll take that one. Okay. What other weird openings could happen? Well, Miami could still open.
Yeah. Miami could still open. Ole Miss could open if Miami opens.
That's true. Oh, can I do a corollary to that emergency pod? Just reading Lane's best tweets during his tenure at Ole Miss. Okay.
Here's a picture of his BMW X7 that he rented in New Orleans.
Yes. Yes.
And here's a picture of his Tahoe that he rented in Houston. Yes. Yes. It's perfect.
So that will be part of that one if that happens. Okay. So I would like to, I just want some claim over Lane and Kirk. Those are my emergency pod requests.
We're going to spread it around. Ubbin's got to take a few.
Yes.
Max has got to take a few.
So many to come.
Nicole, thanks so much. Craziest coaching carousel ever. Stay right here. The Andy Staples Show, Power Hour, The Athletic. We got you covered the whole way through. We'll all get through this together.